We're continuing in our study about the Lord's adversary, Satan. And in particular, we're looking at Satan's devices. And today we're going to look at the device of socialism, expressionism, and evolution. Now, it's clear as to who has established the course of this world. We learn that in Ephesians 2:2, where we're told, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." You know, that should be something for the Christian that is in time past. When you're a Christian, you do not walk according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is what the course of this world works in. It works in the children of disobedience. Now, we know that our God is omnipotent. However, for a season, a creation of God, known to us by many names, the principal name of this creation being Satan, who leads this world down certain prescribed paths called the course of this world. Now, judging by his loyal followers, as far as this world is concerned, this prince of the power of the air is, in their minds, the truth, he is the light, and he is the way as he leads the multitudes. However, only by knowing God's word can we know that Satan is the great deceiver. You know, if you walk in darkness and you walk according to the course of this world, you're blind to the fact that the leader of the course of this world is the great deceiver. For by knowing God's word, we can know the truth in a personal way, and that truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, in fact, the truth, the way, and the light. As Jesus is the truth, Satan is the lie. Now, in our study of Satan, we are concentrating on some of the devices that he has incorporated in the course of this world. We've studied his ethics, which is a system of morality without absolutes. You know, God is absolute because God is perfect. You know, you can be absolute if you're perfect. But Satan's ethics is a system of morality without perfection, for without perfection, there can be no absolutes. So ethics without God are ethics that vary, for they are fitted to ever-changing circumstances. And then we have looked at materialism, which is a device of Satan where only that which is material is real. Only that which I can touch and taste and feel and see and hear or in some way measure is real. Now, materialism is another of Satan's devices, for it excludes God as reality. And in so doing, it is the vanity of vanities. For did you know that all is vanity without God? All is vanity without God. You live your life without God, it's vanity. It's useless. It results in absolutely nothing. It's a vapor that disappears. Isaiah, in Isaiah 57:13, basically said, go ahead and trust in your materialism. Call upon it when you cry in despair and see if it will deliver you. This is how he put it in Isaiah 57:13. When thou criest, and he used this word, let thy companies. That's an interesting word for the economy that we're facing today. Let thy stocks deliver thee. Let those economic forces that you have trusted in deliver thee. So when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. And then he says, but the wind shall carry them all away. A wisp is what he describes here. Of all those things we trust in, that we think have stability. Oh, you know, the Prudential Insurance Company says we're the rock. And their logo is the Gibraltar, the Straits of Gibraltar. And you look at that rock and say, oh, that's unmoving. Oh, it's unmoving. Someday that rock will be burned up. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. My, how well we are acquainted with the wind that carries our material things away, are we not? You know, we're very knowledgeable of that, Pastor. We hunker down. We head for the hill sometimes, hoping and praying that our material things will survive the wind, and some come back and there's nothing left. Oh, I put my trust in this. I built my building according to all the codes, and yet all that I trusted in is gone. Now, unfortunately, most people of the world, regardless of what they say about the spiritual, live lives as materialists, for their daily lives are totally concerned with the material. I don't care what you say. How do you live? You know, they may say they believe in God, but their lives belie that statement, for their actions speak louder than their words. You know, if you had a decibel meter, actions always exceed the decibel level of words. It's not what you say, but how you live which tell your beliefs. For their actions are all about treasure that they have laid up in this world. It is a treasure which reveals their heart to be a heart of one who sees no need of God in their life. That's materialism. It eats away at the truth of God. It blinds the eyes to see the glory of God in the stars and in the universe and in the firmament where we see his handiwork. Now, another of Satan's devices is an emphasis on the collective. Now, what does this mean? This is the herding of men into group thinking and group actions and behaviors. Think about that. Group thinking and group action and behaviors. You know, we look at some of the cable news stations and they try to be balanced. They say, this is what the left thinks and this is what the right thinks. Group thinking. Now, the Bible says, lean not to the right nor to the left, but judge righteous judgment. Where's the righteous station? Where is the station that says, I reject this side and I reject this side and I go according to righteousness? We don't have such a thing, do we? But Satan herds men into group thinking, while God sees men and women as individuals unique from each other with different talents, personalities, gifts, and appearances. Aren't you glad that God made no duplicates or copies? You know, when you walk into this room, you're not confused. You don't see yourself in this room. You see everyone individually. So Satan goes about to destroy the diversity of men through collectivization. Today we see Satan's device of collectivization as an ever-growing movement towards socialism. Now, socialism is basically rule by some who determine what is best for the rest. You're too stupid to determine your own destiny. I've got to determine it for you, is that kind of thinking. It is a determination of their destiny rather than an individual determining what is best for himself or trusting God to determine what is best for himself. You know, Christians do that. I trust God to determine what is best for me. Where the devil wants to have someone else determine what is best for me, and that someone else is him. You know, our country's motto, it says, it's interesting, this is what our country's motto is, in God we trust. But do we really trust in God, or should the motto be changed to in government we trust? Or in man do we trust? In people do we trust? I don't think this is true in the United States. Now, it's true in individuals, but this is not. This is a lie. You know, if you trust in God, God has an individual plan for you like no other. His plan will result in a unique individual fitted to fulfill a particular need in his plan. God treats you as an individual, but socialism sees you as part of the masses to be treated like all others on an equality basis. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? That's not the way God does it. Now, our Constitution says that all men are created equal. That talks about in the eyes of the law. Now, I'm not equal to you, nor are you equal to me. We're different people. We're diverse people. There's no desire on God's part to make us all equal. We see so very clearly the rise of socialism in our country, whereby our government is determining more and more what is best for you. Now, what's Satan doing here? How is this device working? Well, Satan's plan is to maximize your dependency on someone or something, and in doing so, he lessens your dependence upon God. You know, this book of mine and this book of yours preaches dependence on God, doesn't it? Trust in God. Put your hand out for God to fill it. Open your mouth wide and God will fill it. That's what the Bible says. Our government says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Satan desires that God no longer supply your needs, for the collective now ensures that all your needs are met. But you know, as believers, we know only God is the one who knows what is best for us. But Satan again wrestles to wrest from God that determination, and he does it through the political system. Oh, it's so easy to say, I like this. It's easy, isn't it? The government provides and all your needs are met, but where's your dependency? Now, the fourth academic area in our study is psychology, which means the study of the mind. Now, you can study the mind, and you can postulate all kinds of things and propose different methods for defining and maintaining a healthy mind. You know, this book does that. If you want a healthy mind, you stay in the book. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's mental health right there, defined in one verse. Now, you don't have to go every week for an hour, sit on the couch. You know, pay a psychiatrist or a psychologist, what do they get, $100 an hour? I can go in the book and find good mental health. But these methods from psychology bring about certain behaviors which are acceptable or not acceptable in the prevailing culture. They change. Behaviors change. Acceptable behavior in today's culture was not acceptable behavior in Phil's youth. And that's only a few years ago. But Satan, again, is prominent in this area, for his device is counter to that which God presents in his word. How surprising that is. His device, of course his device would do this, assumes a world where man is considered to be the ultimate reality without accountability to any other than other powerful men. That's the only thing you're accountable in the devil's device. So in this reality, where God is excluded, there is promoted a freedom of expression without boundaries. Oh, this world just doesn't like boundaries. Satan hates God-established boundaries. Think back in the book of Genesis, where the first thing he did in the Garden of Eden was to tear down the only boundary that God had established, that boundary relative to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One boundary. Got to get that boundary. That's Satan's mind. Hates God's boundaries. So the course of this world, constructed by Satan, a course without God-established boundaries, is the course we're calling expressionism, in contrast to the biblical precept of discipline. When's the last time you heard discipline discussed? Now, expressionism is wrapped up in this 1960s mantra. Now, some of you aren't old enough, but most of you who lived through that time remembers this expression, if it feels good, do it. Remember that? If it feels good, do it. That's expressionism in one verse. This is based upon an elevation of emotion as the prime mover in life, with the thought that principles are simply things that get in the way of life and hinder expression. Out with your principles. They hinder you. Now, this philosophy in our day is being taught from birth. It is taught by mothers who place no barriers or hedges around their children, hedges that are based upon principles. This philosophy is continued in our government schools, where self-expression is pounded into the students' minds. Go outside around 8 o'clock and take a look at how our children going to the public schools express themselves in what they wear. They indeed take no thought. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think there's a lot of thought taken in what they're going to wear. Oh, they take a lot of thought. And it's amazing, you look at them and they look like they've never taken any thought. It's kind of an interesting dichotomy. But how am I going to express myself? I think a couple of gold earrings here, or silver earrings. Maybe a nose ring that was fit for a pig. Used to be you put a nose ring in a cow or a pig. But there doesn't seem to be any such thing as a disciplined appearance today. We should have a disciplined appearance. The idea of a disciplined mind and body is alien to most modern educators and looked on as something which hinders rather than promotes a productive life. That's the thinking that Satan has inculcated in modern life. Now, it is apparent from this book that the disciplined approach to life is the approach that brings the greatest happiness and health to the mind and the body. I've already talked about that one verse regarding mental health. You know, God was careful and loving to give children parents to love them. I'm so glad that God gave me parents that loved me. Now, how did they love me? Oh, do what you want. Go out of here, kid, you bother me. But anyway, parents are a gift of God. And parents who love will always erect hedges of protection and barriers which keep their children out of Satan's way. You know, what kind of love would it be if you allowed your child to express themselves before the pit of a poisonous snake? Oh, he's just expressing himself. Let the child express themselves between your hedge and the highway. How do you like that? You don't let your child to express themselves in the middle of the road. You know, in God's word, we read that proper discipline is the result of proper love. So much of the time, self-expression results in rebellion, and in some cases, self-expression, many cases today, even results in death. Now, what kind of love is that? Only a devilish system would promote such an idea. You know, failure of the parent to deal with rebellion, that means to deal with self-expression, is not evidence of love, but it's evidence of an uncaring mother or father who is without natural affection. You know, the Bible goes so far as to say that a father that does not deal with rebellion hates his son. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." That's opposite, exactly opposite of what the devil promotes. You let them express themselves and you love your son, he says. You know, Dr. Hinson, in his Projector 1973 article concerning Satan's devices, wrote this about discipline. When is a violin string free? You know, those strings on that piano just aren't free, Mrs. Hobbs. You ought to untighten those strings. You're such a disciplinarian, so authoritative. Cut them, let them be free, and then go play us something. Is it really free when it is lying loose in the cellophane wrapper in the music store, or when it is stretched taut, disciplined on the violin? I watch in amazement as an accomplished gymnast performs, knowing full well the hours and the hours and the hours of practice, discipline, if you will, which were necessary before the performance was possible. There are some far-reaching implications for the Christian in this idea. My favorite illustration of discipline involves a rather famous concert pianist. Some years ago, he had just finished a brilliant concert when a matron minced up to him. Can you imagine? See? what a play on words. If you're a matron, be careful of mincing. Up to him and said, "Oh, I would just give anything if I could play like that." You have to say it that way. The pianist looked at her for a moment and then replied, "Would you give 8 hours of practice every day for 20 years? Many Christians want the performance without the practice. We want the results without the discipline of training. You see, in the Bible, we're taught that learning takes work. It takes work on the part of the learner, but it takes even more work on the part of the teacher, whether it be the teacher in the classroom or the teacher in the home. Anyone who has learned by discipline. God has established in His Word an order of things, and that order is for discipline to precede self-expression. That's the order. That famous concert pianist expresses himself, but it all came about because of discipline. You know, the pastor has children play for us the instruments that they have learned through discipline in the church service. Now, does the pastor say to a child, undisciplined, play in the church service? Thank you for not asking that, Pastor. We're thankful for a disciplined performer expressing themselves. You know, I attended the kindergarten graduation last Thursday that Mrs. Brainerd brought together, and these little five-year-olds were a blessing to all of us who witnessed this event. But imagine that same event being put on last September. Now, do you think it would have been a joy to see these same children express themselves without the burden of discipline imposed on them throughout the school year? No, it would not have been a blessing. It would have been a curse. For it would have been self-expression without discipline. You know, there used to be in the society of old the idea of a finishing school. In that society, the child was not considered finished when they were 2 years old, but they went to the finishing school and then they were introduced to society. Wow, what an idea that is. But you know, it is like the baking of bread. You do not want a half-baked loaf of bread put on the table, nor should you want a half-baked child presented to society. You know, how many times do we have to put up with half-baked children at the restaurant whose parents seem to think that their self-expression is so cute, and you ought to think it cute also? Am I alone in this? These parents who promote self-expression without discipline wonder why you don't have a smile on your face brought on by the sight of such expressive, happy, loud, clamorous children. You know, I don't put a smile on my face. I look like the grumpy old man. And my wife and I talk rather loudly about the situation. But you know, there used to be a thing called manners. And manners, the principle in manners was, don't cause distress in others. It was all about others. It wasn't about me. It was about you. In other words, when you eat, don't eat with your mouth. Don't be chewing with your mouth open. I can't see my mouth open, but you can see my mouth open. Don't cause distress to others. So biblical parents train their children with discipline before they are allowed freedom to express themselves. Now, if your children aren't under manageable control, don't take them to a restaurant. Take them to McDonald's and let them eat out in the playground. That's all they're fit for. But don't take them to a nice restaurant where people are coming to enjoy the food so that they can express themselves freely and openly, and you can smile and say, oh, how expressive they are. Discipline them and get them ready for society is what the Bible preaches. You know, the devil promotes self-expression without discipline. And any system of thought which pushes the idea of self-expression in opposition to discipline is not a biblical idea.
Well, you know, as Christians, the government's laws aren't what govern me. This book governs me. The Holy Spirit governs me. This is within me to do right. That's where it comes from. And like Howard said, that's what you have to have if you're going to have a society, a decent society. And that is being torn down by the devil's devices. Father, we are thankful for this time together. We're thankful that your word is so full of light. And Lord, we can see the deceitfulness of the devil. We can see the deceitfulness of Satan as he goes about establishing these devices and running this world, establishing the course of this world. Help us not to fall for his devices, Father, for we know the word of God. Do bless our brother as he preaches to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.